Hello, Audio Journal listeners. In place of our regularly scheduled programming, we bring you the following program brought to you by Audio Journal.
The opinions expressed on the following program do not reflect the views and opinions of Audio Journal, its board of directors, staff, or volunteer readers. Thank you for listening to Audio Journal.
Welcome in. Take my hand. Say hello to who you know and who you don't and who you can. We'll give promise to your springtime and beginnings to your ends. We'll try not to be cautious, we'll be friends.
Welcome in, everyone, to Visibilities on Friday, June 5th, 2026. I know that date well. Usually I stumble over the date, but it's because today's my husband's birthday. So happy birthday, Frank. And it's also Penny Reader's husband's birthday. And so happy birthday to Carl. And I'm going to start. I'm just looking to see, is Amanda here or Muhammad or Jenna?
Amanda's here.
Where so is
you?
Oh, Amanda.
Hey, Terry. How are you?
There we go. There's Amanda. Hi, Amanda. I want to invite everyone to sit back and Amanda is the new chair of the ACB Scholarship Committee. And so she's going to tell us a little bit about that. And we have two of the scholarship winners will be with us, shortly.
Okay.
So
yes. Muhammad.
Go find Amanda.
All right. Thank you. And I just, texted, the link to Jenna. So hopefully she'll be, oh, there she is. Okay. So they're both here. So tonight, good evening, everyone. My name is Amanda Sound and I am the ACB Scholarship Committee Chair, as Terry said. And I'm really excited that we are providing a unique opportunity before the convention this year for you all to get to know our scholarship winners. And tonight we have two scholarship winners. And every Friday in June and every Tuesday in June, you will have the opportunity to meet two or three of our ACB scholarship winners on either Tuesday topics or visibility. So I want to thank Terry and Paul for that outstanding partnership that we have worked out this year, because our scholarship winners are an amazing part of our family. And this is just a wonderful opportunity for all of us to get to know them. So I'll go ahead and introduce our first scholarship winner of this evening. And that is Muhammad Sohaib. He is from Texas. And give me a second here. He is the recipient of the Laurito and Charles Dillman Scholarship. So, Muhammad, if you could please just go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell us where you're, what you are most excited about in terms of the ACB conference and convention.
Hi, everyone. Good evening. I'm Muhammad Sohaib, and as Amanda told, I am from Denton, Texas, and I'm doing my PhD in special education at University of North Texas. I just completed my second year of my program, still have one more semester left for my coursework, and then I'll be moving forward to my dissertation phase. For ACB, first of all, I am really thankful to Visibility team for having us here tonight and introducing ourselves. I am really excited about meeting with people who come from all over the U.S., from different states, and they come with different experiences and their life experience in general, and specifically their experience with visual impairment and how do they navigate their day-to-day life. And it's really exciting. And it's always interesting to me to listen to the stories of different people. How do they cope up with their visual impairment and the wonderful things they are doing? So I'm really excited to know all of you, to meet ACB family, and to contribute as little, as much as I can from my experiences and from my background. Happy to be here. And thank you so much for having us here tonight.
Thank you, Mohammed. Thank you so much. Or Sohaib, you go by Sohaib.
Yeah, I go by Sohaib. Just wanted to correct that.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't realize that either.
Absolutely fine. No worries at all. It's just a cultural thing. Our given name can be our second name. So, but I go by Sohaib. Yeah.
Okay. And I understand that you are into hiking and mountain climbing.
Oh, yeah. I love hiking and high altitude mountaineering. I just say that one day I want to summit all of 8,000 meter high mountains. There are 14 in the world. And there are 14 8,000 meter high mountains in the world. And five out of 14 are in Pakistan. I haven't had the chance to go to 8,000 meter high, but I've been to 4,500 to 5,000 meter high. I definitely want to get some more skills and more training in that and want to summit them someday. Yeah.
Yes, I just heard today on the news that someone had fallen into a crevice on Mount Everest, and they thought they were going to be doing a recovery, and he managed to get out of it after 6 days and got to the camp.
Yeah, so that's the scary part of this activity, but I love it regardless of anything that happens. but let's see.
Well, I do know we do have a couple of people who are into that, especially in this country, but I think they've also done some other countries too. So maybe we can connect you up with.
Sure. I would love to get connected with those folks and see how do they do it and what trainings did they get. And I definitely want to get more into this activity.
All right. And now you're on your, You have one more semester to get your PhD.
No, I have a couple of more years. I have just one more semester for my coursework before I go into dissertation phase.
Oh, okay. I see. Yeah. I'm sorry.
No problem.
And then what do you hope to do with it?
So my PhD is in special education. I have been in education all my life. I was lecturing in applied linguistics, but I took a career change. I was in academia all my life. But coming to special education, it's more like interdisciplinary. I'm trying to do more interdisciplinary work in special ed and applied linguistics. And I want to be in academia or in research areas or research institutes where I'm conducting research that's the intersection of language and language pedagogy for students with visual impairment. So I'm going to be in higher education, maybe as a professor or in a research institute where I'm working more on research that's more practical and that can bring change in lives of people.
Well, I wish you well. I think you certainly seem to have the character and the personality to do a fabulous job with that.
Thank you so much for saying that. So part of me is I also co-founded a nonprofit organization back in Pakistan, and that basically works for a rehabilitation of persons with disabilities, specifically visually impaired people. So I have a mixed interest, and being, as a co-organizer, co-founder of that, definitely more into advocacy work and nonprofit work and really big on that. And definitely I try to hone in or, combine all of these interests together in my profession and with my that nonprofit work.
That's wonderful. Amanda, you want to do the next introduction?
Absolutely. Thanks, Terry. So our next scholarship winner is from Arlington, Virginia. And her name is Jenna Sheets, and she is the recipient of one of our Floyd Qualls Memorial Scholarships. We have five of these, and Jenna is one of the recipients of the Floyd Qualls Memorial Scholarship. So, Jenna, if you could go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us who you are, where you're from, your area of study, and what you are most excited about with the upcoming ACB conference and convention and just ACB in general.
Yeah, of course. My name is Jenna Sheets, as she said. I am 18 years old from Arlington, Virginia, which is right outside DC. I just, or am about to next week, actually graduate high school and plan to go to Tufts University for my undergrad. I want to get in a degree in criminal psychology. I hope to be like a forensic psychologist when I grow up. I think for ACB, I'm most excited to just meet people with like visual impairments. I think in my area, there are not as many. And I think a lot of them, there's like very different ages and stuff like that. So I haven't been able to like connect with a lot of people, especially since I'm on the younger side. Like throughout my life, I haven't been able to connect with too many people who have visual impairments. A lot of that also has to do with I got diagnosed very late. I wasn't diagnosed until I was 13. So I kind of, and then COVID hit and all this stuff. So I've been like wanting to meet more people with visual impairments and talk more about it. Like I do a lot of advocacy work in my school and local community, but it's just hard when there's not a lot of people in the local community who feel the same impact. So I would say that's definitely what I'm most excited for, just to meet people, right? Make connections and just have those like meaningful relationships where you can just share something that's like very difficult and like understand each other's pain, but also understand things that are fun and exciting and stuff like that.
And Sharon Strakowski, pay attention to this young lady because you need to track to catch her. Sharon is the president of the Bay State Council, and you're going to be up at Tufts.
Yes, I will be at Tufts. I'm so excited.
And I'm from that area. I'm from the next town over from Tufts, originally.
Are you from Medford? Or
I'm from Arlington.
Oh, okay. Nice. That's exciting.
I live in Silver Spring now, but that's home is Arlington. Let's put it that way.
Right.
One of the things that I noticed on the blurb that Amanda had sent me is that you're a diving instructor.
I am, yeah.
I love that idea.
Yeah, I have been diving since I was like, I think like 11 or 12. Before that, I did gymnastics. So I used to be a competitive gymnast when I was little. And then it just was becoming a little bit too much as I was entering like middle and high school. And a little too much on my body too. Gymnastics is very like very intense. The training is very intense. So too many broken bones. And I was like, I think I'm going to switch sports. And so I tried out diving because it's a common thing, especially in my gym. A lot of gymnasts who are like, oh, I want something similar, but you know, different, went to diving, and my friend had recommended it. So I've been diving since I was about 11. And, so diving has kind of been with me throughout my like journey with low vision as well, which is why it's really important to me, because I started when I didn't know about my visual impairment, and then I got diagnosed while diving, and I was able to kind of like adapt how I dive as my vision, you know, got worse. And then when I turned 15, that was my first year as a dive instructor. So in where I live, you can get a work permit at 15. And I started coaching on the team that I dove on. I've been doing that ever since. I actually just came from practice. That's why I might look a little sweaty. But I've been doing that ever since. And I also picked up another job about last year where I coach part-time classes at a facility near me. It's an indoor facility, actually. And that was my first time teaching adult classes, which was interesting. So now I have been teaching children, teen, and adult from all ages. Like, I think it's like there's someone on our dive team that is 75, I think, and he is crazy. And I love teaching all ages of dive, and just really has like kind of been something that's been there for me throughout my vision journey. So, and obviously, of course, I still dive as well. Like, I have my practices and I dive on my high school team. So it's just something I really enjoy.
You're doing 3 meter?
Yeah, I do 3 meter. I only compete on 1 meter, but I have done 3 meter and I've competed like a few competitions on 3 meter, but I'm primarily just 1 meter.
Yeah. I think 1 meter is a lot safer.
Yeah. 3 meter, I'm like, it's fun, but a lot of pools also like don't have 3 meters and you have to maybe drive further to go to one that has it. Especially like the platform diving, like the indoor pool I work at has platform diving, which is great. But then my summer pool doesn't. They only have, 1 and 3 meter springboards. So it can be difficult.
Well, I think we can maybe hook you up with some pools up in the in the Boston area as well.
That would be great.
I do know of one place that used to have them. I'm not sure that they still do, but I know of two now that I think of it. But so maybe we'll connect on that at some point.
That'd be so great.
And you're doing criminal psychology. I think
that's
a fascinating area.
Yeah.
My father was a police detective, so I kind of like that.
Yeah, that's similar.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Amanda, can you give us a little hint of who we're going to have on next week?
Yes, just a second. I can check out who we have next week, because I'm just so thankful that we're able to do this this summer. So give me just a second. Both of these individuals are just absolutely outstanding, as are our whole class. I'll just tell you, you're going to want to make sure you tune in every Tuesday and every Friday this June, because this class, I've never seen a class like this before. They're just dynamic and they just have a powerful presence. So, and energy, which we need in ACB. So next week on June 12th, we will have Lauren Lovegood, and Lauren goes by Wren. And this is the scholarship winner that Terry and I were discussing earlier. She's from Stoughton. Is that how you say it? Stoughton, Massachusetts. She says she's from Boston. She is a doctoral student. And then also we'll have Sarah Oafade. And Sarah is, she is the recipient of the Gillette Scholarship, which is specifically for a woman studying music. So we'll get to hear about her music studies next week.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I just, I've been involved with the scholarship committee often, especially back when I worked for ACB in the first decade of the millennium. But I just think that this is, they're just an amazing, amazing people, young people that we're bringing in. And that's it. We need, that's the type of energy that it not only is great that they have the energy, but they encourage all of us to get up and get moving more.
Absolutely. And Terry, I will say this year, a lot of the recipients this year are non-traditional students. Non-traditional means they're returning to school later in life.
Right.
More so than they would be in a traditional setting. Some of them are returning, but some of them are wanting a career change. Some of them are just, trying to figure out what they want to do later in life. And it's just very inspiring. So if you think that you can't go back to school because you're older, you think again, wait till you meet this class. And it also demonstrates that learning is a lifelong process.
Well, thank you very much for joining us tonight, Amanda.
Well, thank you for having us.
And both Said and Jenna. And I hope that you all stay around and learn a little bit about some of our affiliates. And one, it just happens that the next person that we're going to be talking with is a very new affiliate president, and she is the president of the Bay State Council of the Blind, which is in Massachusetts, for someone from Stoughton and Jenna going up to Tufts. And that's Sharon Strakowski. And many people know Sharon from, I'm pretty sure she's Secretary of Alliance on Aging and Vision Loss. And she's got her thumbs in every place. And so, Sharon, good evening.
Hi. Thank you for having me on. And I first want to say thank you to Amanda, because I got the contact information for Wren and left her a message today. She is one busy lady.
Yes, she is.
So I don't know that I'll hear back from her right away, but I said to her in my email, let's have, you know, we'll have coffee at convention. So, and it would be delightful to meet Jenna as well, being as you're coming to Tufts, which is a very good university in the Boston area. So I am here tonight. As Terry said, I started as president. It might be 3 weeks now.
I think so.
Something like that. And boy, you know, you don't know what you don't know. But what I want to share, first of all, is that this is the 50th anniversary of Bay State Council of the Blind. And that's pretty amazing. And at our recent convention at the Hotel Marriott in Burlington, Massachusetts, we had a couple of former BSCB presidents speak about their terms. And we also had a little tribute for two of our presidents who have passed on. And then David Kingsbury, who preceded me, ended up the little parade with just talking about himself a little bit. He has been with us as our president for about 6 years and has done an amazing job, particularly in getting our committee structure to be really good and to have people who are very dedicated. We have an advocacy committee, and a couple of things we're really working on right now are voting access in Massachusetts, because our AutoMark machines are old and not working very well, and the Secretary of State is going to be procuring bids for new ones, and we want to be involved in that process, as well as other accessibility parts of being at the polls. We are grateful in Massachusetts to have electronic voting, which is wonderful, but there are people who want to go to the polls and have the right to go to the polls. Another advocacy thing that we're working on is trying to get Waymo, the autonomous vehicle company, into Massachusetts. That's a struggle. But we had a Waymo representative at our convention a couple of weeks ago, and a Waymo vehicle that people could go look at. So we're kind of excited about that. Another committee that we have is fundraising, and every affiliate needs this for sure. And we're really trying to beef up corporate sponsors, because while we really need and appreciate what we get from our auction and the ACB walk, we need more consistent sponsors. So we're working on that. We also have a transportation committee, and probably like other states, it varies where you are in the state, how good the regional transit authority is. And that's definitely the case in our state. And so we're trying to get some standardized, forms so that all the RTAs have the same eligibility requirements. We're also trying to get them to do more connecting from one regional transit authority to another. This is an uphill battle. It's going to take a long time.
Yes.
But we've got
been an uphill battle for years.
For years and years. But, you know, we're working on it, and it's a good thing. Our membership committee this year instituted something new. We have a free membership for people for a year. And one of our goals was to try to have it so that people who are at the Carroll Center for the Blind, which is a very well-known rehabilitation center, that they would be exposed to Bay State Council of the Blind and get a free membership. And we are now up to about 224 members in our affiliate, which is really, really exciting. So those are some of the things that we've been working on. We also have a communications committee, which I have been chairing, and we are working very hard on updating our website so that it is more accessible on the iPad, on the iPhone, and on the computer, and working on our Facebook. And one of our members, Diana Leonard, as many of you might know, is now a staff member for ACB with the Audio Description Project. So we're very excited about that for her, and also very happy to have her expertise too. So that's a nutshell.
Well, let me just ask you a couple of things.
Please.
The website. Someone can join through the website.
Correct.
And the website address is?
www.acbofma.org. So acbofma.org.
And you have an email list.
We have a couple of email lists. We have an announce list, which is just one way, and people can subscribe to that. We have a chat list as well, which goes up and down as far as the traffic, but it's a good list. And we also have a list for members so that, for instance, when we come to voting with the National Convention, that we post things about that just to our members. Anybody can be on our announce list, and we have many people on it that are partners of ours and people that maybe have left the state but still want to know what's going on. We also have a Fillmore box so that people who are not comfortable on a web can call our Fillmore box, and I'll give you that number. It is 773-572-6312. And we have a wonderful woman, Cindy, who monitors that and helps people with registering for things or becoming members. So again, that number is 773-572-6312. And we also have on there the list of our various chapters. We have a Charles River chapter, a Boston chapter, Central Mass chapter. We have a chapter of guide dog users, so Guide Dog Users of Massachusetts. And, of course, you can be a member of one of the regional chapters as well as the guide dog chapter. So that's what we have.
And what do you see? Do you see any, are you bringing in anything new and exciting this year? Or it sounds like you've got enough to deal with, because you also have a social committee.
That's right.
And you do it, what is it, the third Thursday?
Oh, yes. Okay. I'll mention those. We have a wonderful woman, Elizabeth Ann, who does our social committee. We have people on there. And we've had everything from virtual story slams, which have been a lot of fun. And then we've had apple picking, strawberry picking, bowling, New Year's Day. I don't know if it was New Year's Day, but New Year's lunch, like a holiday lunch. And they just keep coming up with stuff, which is great. And the third Thursday is something that the communication committee began a few years ago. And we have speakers on various topics. I think one of our biggest ones that we had recently was about Instacart. Everybody knows Instacart, right? And we had a couple people really walk us through the app and share their tips Now they were BSCB members, but we've had other people come in and talk about different things. One of our members, Nona, actually did a session on QR codes and scanning them and all of that. And we've had, topics on healthcare, and you don't have to be a member at all to join the Third Thursday, calls. If you get on the, BSCB announce list, you'll be notified. And to do that, it's the typical, formula that we use in ACB. So it's BSCB-announce, the plus sign, subscribe at acblists.org. And that's the way you get onto a lot of the lists that are administered by ACB. So,
well, Sharon, congratulations.
Thank you.
On becoming the new president, and I'm sure we'll be in touch.
I feel so honored, and I'm at a time in my life when I can devote the time, and it feels like a calling to me. Thank you.
I think it needs to be sometimes.
Yeah. Yes, indeed.
Thank you so much. Okay. For being with us.
Okay.
Annie Chapetta is next, and she is here for Friends in Art of ACB. Annie.
Hello.
There you are.
I'm here. So I'm so happy that you started out with Amanda, because that reminded me that to announce our Friends in Art scholarship recipient. So we grant a $2,000 a year scholarship for students in the arts, pursuing the arts. And that's a broad term, because this particular person, after her diagnosis, she decided to switch from architecture to art therapy. Her name is Dana Boylan, and she's going to be featured in a lot of the things that we do to help promote our students on our scholarship recipients. But we also do it for anybody in the arts. So first, if you want to get in contact with me, you can contact me by email, president@friendsinart.org. Or you can go to our website, www.friendsinart.org. You can also renew your membership with us, or you can take out a new membership. We accept Zelle and PayPal and check. Dana will be featured on our Art Parlor podcast, as well as our featured blog. And we'll probably also follow up with trying to help promote her and other people as well on our new Facebook page. I think we're almost to 100 people and follows right now on Facebook, which is good, because then we'll have like a permanent URL to it, instead of a whole bunch of numbers and letters that no one could possibly type in to get to our page. Right. So it's temporary until we get to a certain point, but then it'll come over. So that's exciting. We have a great bunch of virtual programming for the convention. We have somebody coming in to talk about access to arts and tactile art and different types of ways to make things accessible in museums and public venues. And then we have our protest poetry, and we have a special guest. This is going to be a surprise, but also I think Naomi is here, and she's going to be one of our featured poets who's going to read her work. And that's exciting, because we did something last year, and this year we're going to follow up with more of that. It was a very productive session, so we figured we'd try again and, you know, change
and
it up
so
a little bit.
And that's going to be at convention?
That's on the virtual portion of convention.
Okay.
Yeah. And then on the 18th, we're always going to have a songwriting panel, and we have a couple of people coming on the panel to talk about songwriting, and their genre of songs and stuff like that. And Peter Oshel and I are going to be co-facilitating that. So I'm really excited. And then Carla Hayes's Prose and Poetry Ad Convention at Hybrid, I'll be there as well. Reading some of my poetry along with a whole bunch of other cool people. So I'm really excited.
And if people are interested in learning more, what is the the Friends in Art? I tend to do alphabet soup. What's the Friends in Art website?
So it's www.friendsinart.org. And that's Peter's influence on me, by the way. and you can contact me at presidentfriendsinart.org. I'm trying to make it as simple as possible for people to remember. We have a public email list, and you can send a blank email to friendsinart plus subscribe at groups.io. I make sure I repost a lot of things, people that have announcements about their own work or, new things that they're releasing, things like that. We like to, share that list. If anybody would like to be featured on our blog, whether you're an artist, a musician, or an organization that supports the arts, we'd love to hear from you. Because we work up a nice interview, put some pictures up there and maybe a couple of music tracks. And, we really like to help promote people. We just got a few new board members on our team, and we're always looking for more. Friends in Art has made a big transition from a lot of the board members had, termed out, and we're looking for new people and fresh impacts on the arts. So if anybody has any ideas, I'm your gal. We have two podcasts. We have the Art Parlor podcast. That's a monthly replay, that we do. And it's a deep dive into the life of somebody, artists and musicians. And then on the second and fourth Friday of every month at 8 p.m., we have the Author Collective.
Glad it's at 8 p.m. and not 7.
I know. And that's been, it's been so great since we started that. It's really helped people kind of get to us. Every time I do a podcast, a new membership or two pops into my inbox. It's great. Love it.
And you might want to touch base with Sharon Strakowski, because I don't really know the relationship, but I know there is one there someplace with the message with the Friends in Art MFA, Museum of Fine Arts in Boston, and they do virtual tours for people who are blind or have visual impairments.
That is indeed true, and they're very
yes.
Yeah.
And so just thinking that one of those, some of your members might like to hear about that as well.
Yeah. See, that's okay. The kind of thing we're looking for. Not just, the organizations that support the arts.
Right.
To make that contact,
Next time I see, next time I get one, I'll forward it to you.
Amy. All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you can subscribe if you want,
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. One more thing I was going to mention. Oh, and so one of the things in the Author Collective, how we have sidebars about talking about how difficult it is for writers who are serious about their writing, want to be published, and they're not a non-traditional, publishing, independently published, not by a traditional publishing house, how difficult it is for us to market ourselves. And one of the major stumbling blocks or barriers to that is content management systems like MailerLite and Mail Octopus to push out your newsletters, and to push out all your promotional material. They're almost impossible to navigate with the screen readers. And then, if, and so what I'm trying to do is trying to get as many people as possible who, you know, want to help with the advocacy efforts on, you know, finding out, you know, what the deal is with these particular programs, and try to make them better so we can manage our own marketing and promotional tools. Because right now, it's not good. So, I'd really like to start investigating all that. So, just wanted to put it out there. If anybody wants to contact me about that, I've had more than one writer say, this is almost impossible. I can't afford to, you know, hire somebody to do this for me. It's a real barrier.
All right.
That's what we're doing.
Well, I thank you. And, you know, Friends and Arts been around, oh gosh, my first convention in 1979. Back in those days, people used to bring their own art and display it and hopefully sell it at the conventions. And, as a matter of fact, we have a piece that was done by one of the very early, I think he was one of the early presidents of Friends in Art, Merrill Maynard. He was from Massachusetts as well, of the Perkins Tower, reflected in a lake and in the pond up there and that kind of thing. And it hangs over my husband's desk in his office. And there's just been so much things. This organization, Friends in Art, I think, has such a heritage and such so much potential, especially with the way, with all that you do with the publishing and the book launches and such, that I think it's just a great opportunity for people today.
Thank you. Yeah. And I certainly want to do more. I mean, believe me, I have my wish list as president. I do. But, you know, we can only do so much at one time. And
that's true.
You know, one step forward, one step forward. So that's basically what's been going on.
As long as it's one forward and not two back.
That is correct. Yes.
All right. Well, thank you, Annie.
Thanks, Terry.
We have another affiliate president who's been just about everything in ACB at one time or another, that I know of. I'm just wondering, is there any other than, our next president is going to be Michael Byington. Do we have any other presidents that I'm missing? If we do, would you just raise your hand so I can make sure not to miss you? And in the meanwhile, while you're doing that, I am going to welcome Michael Byington.
Well, thank you very much, Terry. It's a pleasure to be here.
Always a pleasure to have you around, Michael.
I hear all of the wonderful things that are going on with Massachusetts and am somewhat humbled by comparison, but
I'm thinking of moving back there at this point.
We're pretty proud of some of the things we're doing. We are one of the oldest affiliates in ACB. Our organization was chartered in 1920, so we have been around for 106 years now. We were affiliated with NFB back in the 40s and 50s and very early 60s. And in 1961, we were one of the original seven affiliates that moved out of NFB and went across the alley to the Aladdin Hotel in 1961 in Kansas City, Missouri, and somehow arranged for a meeting in the tower room of the Aladdin, which is now the Holiday Inn Kansas City downtown. And we're part of the creation of the American Council of the Blind. So I guess one of the things that we have always really felt kind of good about was, while we are absolutely 100% ACB and we love a lot of the things that ACB is doing We are members of ACB as an affiliate by choice because we were around a long time before NFB or ACB, either one, had been created. And we were created by a number of teachers at the Kansas State School for the Blind, along with a number of blind people who were living and working in the community. And that included quite a number of blind ministers that had various congregations in Kansas. Our first president was, I believe his first name was Wilson. I mean, it was Sam, President Wilson. He was a Methodist minister in one of the rural burgs just outside of Kansas City. It's interesting because around 60 years later, we had another Sam Wilson who was president of our organization. He was a person whom I considered to be a mentor. And he would be proud for me to say that he was the first African-American president of the Kansas affiliate, the Kansas Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired. We have a long and storied history, and it's been a little bit of a struggle over the last few years because really a lot of our membership for many years was made up of people who all knew each other because they had graduated from the School for the Blind in Kansas. Now with the last 50 years or so involving much more mainstreaming, I guess you would say, and involvement in the local schools, we still do have a very active and very competent School for the Blind, and there are still some students who benefit more from that milieu. We have a system here in Kansas where a student goes to their own public school in their neighborhood for most of their academic matriculation. But if they're falling behind in basic skills because they need more Braille, better independent living skills, whatever, then maybe they go to the School for the Blind for a year or two and they build those things back up, but they come back and for the most part, most of them graduate from their local public schools. And our original education chair who taught at the school was a music teacher and then taught many years thereafter, a lady named Esther V. Taylor. We have named one of our scholarships after her. Mm-hmm. She was actually one of the early advocates for blind students being educated in their local school system. And although it didn't happen during her lifetime, this model that people like Bill Doherty, who is now at the School for the Blind in Texas, but served many years in Kansas, did where the individuals have a blended educational experience was something that Esther worked hard for and advocated for many years.
Michael, I hate to cut you short, but I do have one other one after you.
I'll hurry.
So can we catch up to what's going on with Kansas now?
All right. I get proud of that history, and sometimes I wax too eloquent. But,
I do the same thing, I know. I keep wanting to tell everybody the early history of Bay State.
We now are not as large as we used to be by quite a long extent. But unfortunately in Kansas, one battle that we lost is between 2000 and 2010, there were some very conservative folks running the state of Kansas, and basically they killed our Kansas Division of Services for the blind. So we do not have a blind services agency per se in Kansas anymore. They have farmed the older blind information out, or services out, to a number of local agencies. And about the only thing that the state runs directly is our business enterprises program, which, what can I say? They don't run it real well, but some people who are in the program are very happy with it. Anyway, we have therefore ended up taking over.
Terry, I just need to let you know that you have 10 minutes till the top of the hour.
Thanks, okay. Jesse.
Well, for the state, a whole lot of, gosh, that got me all discombobulated here.
We've
been able to establish basically an information and referral center. We have a program in our state where we advertise pretty frequently that people, families who have members who have passed away or have equipment that they can't use anymore because maybe their vision has changed or there have been other changes, we encourage them to donate that equipment to us. We then go through it and make sure that it still works properly for the most part. And then we try to put it back out into the community. We don't charge for it. We tell people, hey, we do have a small set of offices and we've got to keep our rent paid to store this stuff and so on. So if you can afford to make a contribution to us, please do. And certainly many people have. But we put that information, that assistive technology, which may not be the newest and the most recent thing on the market, but by golly, it works, and people who otherwise wouldn't be getting assistive technology at all are able to get some assistive technology that they need through our program. And that is one of our major programs. Information and referral is also a major program. And then there is something that I am in charge of because I'm the one with the letters after my name. I am now fully retired. I finished up with my last paying client in my private practice in October of 2025. But I'm a certified orientation and mobility specialist. I just spent the money to recertify for another 5 years. And there really is not any service in Kansas that is providing direct orientation and mobility services for newly blinded adults. So I still have a practice, and it works the same way our equipment program does. I tell people, look, the service is free of charge, but if I do you any good and you can afford it, please make a contribution to us. And those are the principal things that are keeping us going financially these days. We really do need to do some of the creative things that some of the other affiliates are doing. But I'm very excited about the fact that we have a couple of new members that have updated some things beautifully for us. Our webmaster was a gentleman named Paul Burscheid, who died last October. He was 82 when he died, and he had done a wonderful job of maintaining our website all through about the last 15 or 20 years before that. But when he died, there were a lot of things that we couldn't get to. He thought he had given us all the things that we needed to get into the website and continue to maintain it, but he really didn't quite get that accomplished. So a new board member that we have, a gentleman in his 30s who is a very exciting new member of our organization, Paul Knapp, has become our webmaster. And before he became both legally blind and also developed some orthopedic impairments because of his diabetes that contributed to his blindness, he had worked in web design and worked for a computer provider of some type. He has completely redone our website. At one point in the past, we had to give up our kabvi.org web address and go to kabvi.com because somebody managed to get in when our website expired and purchase the old domain.
Domain, yeah.
Turns out that that was a group of folks that claimed they were selling artistic kimonos from the Middle East, but there was no way. They had beautiful pictures of their kimonos on there, but no way to buy them. And I'm convinced that it was some kind of an Al-Qaeda secret code or something that was going through that website. They finally gave that up, and we got our .org back. So we are now again www.kabvi.org.
KABVI.org. Thank you, Michael. I'm sorry, but I've got to cut you.
Okay.
I've got to cut you short. Because we're down to, we've got less than 5 minutes, and I need to get one more quick one in.
That's all right. Thank you very much for the time, Terry.
Thank you. And we'll talk again soon, I'm sure. Larry, are you available?
Yes.
There we go. We do have another president with us, and that's Larry Gassman, who's president of ACB Diabetics in Action. And I know they got a fundraiser going because I'm dying to get one of those t-shirts, one of those sugar warriors.
Yeah, we're doing the Brenda Dillon Memorial Walk, and we are a part of that, the Sugar Warriors. And we launched yesterday. And so I think we're about third or fourth already. There's some stiff competition ahead of us, but we will catch up. And we're going to have fun doing it too, because we're going to put together a little competition as well. And that's what it's about. Competition can be fun if you make it fun. And we're working through that. We just had our elections last night, so we have a fairly new board with some repeaters back on the board. And it was lots of fun as well. We enjoyed that. We're working on our live mixer. We haven't done a mixer for a while at the convention, so we're working through that. So if you have not registered, or even if you have, you can go back and find the registration page. And if you want to be with us on Saturday at 4 Central, by all means, come and join us, because we're going to have some fun. We'll enjoy ourselves. And most important thing is we'll get a chance to chat with each other. That was quick, but I realize we're already at 57, so I'll turn it back to you.
That's it. And I think ACBD, Diabetics in Action, is just, that's an organization that far too many of us need to belong to, because I think we all learn so much from one another on that in that organization as well. Thank you, Larry. I want to thank all of you that have been with me tonight. I want to thank Desi for hosting for us, Larry for streaming for us, Amanda and Jenna and Saeed and, oh God, I knew I'd get in trouble if I did this, Sharon and Annie and Michael, and I'm leaving someone out and it's blanking on me, and I do apologize. I just want to let you all know that next Friday night, we will have the, you know, we call the queen of the convention and all of that. We're having, I guess it's the Earl of the Exhibit Hall. Michael Smitherman will be on with us next Friday night to talk about what's coming up leading up to the convention and the virtual part of it and all of the just a lot of information about the convention and about the exhibit hall. And he will be with me next Friday night. And in the meanwhile, I want to wish you all a great week ahead and have a happy and safe week, and stay cool, because right now it's hot as the dickens in some of our places. And Larry, have a great cruise. And we'll see you back in 2 weeks, I think it is.
Yeah, three. I think three. Maybe it is two. Yeah, I'm not sure. Two or three.
I'm not sure. And there was a confusion today on the DKM, the Derwood K. McDaniel First Timers. And I do apologize for that, but all of a sudden, Zelda and I realized that we had a scheduling conflict. And so they will be on with us on the 19th of June. But we will continue to have a couple, two or three of the scholarship winners each week as well. Thank you all and have a great week ahead. Good night.
You are listening to Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.